Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
We are family, and we're about growing the family of God. God's Word says to go into all the world. It doesn't say just to preach the gospel. It says to go out there and bring them in, that my house may be made full. It doesn't have the ending that says, if you feel like it, if it's convenient for you. The cross was not convenient. And so he did his part. We do. It's what Pastor Mike said a few minutes ago during worship. We provide the muscle. And God's given us the privilege of doing just exactly that. So, Pastor Pam is sharing today about family. She is going to come and join me here on the platform. Would you welcome our associate pastor, Pastor Pam Patton.
Hi, well, good morning. When I originally was supposed to spoke was on Mother's Day, and on the Friday night before Mother's Day, I started getting the most sore throat, and I don't get sick that often, but oh my goodness, I went from sore throat on Friday night to Saturday losing most of my voice. I don't have, like Pastor Barry, a big booming voice, so when you lose most of your voice, then it took the ability to be able to speak on that Sunday. So Pastor Barry was so gracious on that Sunday and stepped in, but he had talked to me again to ask if I'd want the opportunity to speak, and so I really prayed to God again and said, okay, you know, I know what it was laid on my heart in May to share, and I really sought God to see if that was still what I was supposed to be sharing, and he kept reaffirming and confirming in me that yes, that he still really wanted me to talk about we are family. And when I started thinking about that, I started thinking, you know, just like our church families, you know, even if you go to a different church that's the same denomination or the same affiliation, each one looks different. Each church family looks different. We're each one unique. And in the same way, our individual families, each one look unique, each one of our families. So I thought I'd just start by sharing a couple of unique things about our family. And you can see that maybe we're just maybe a little bit more unique than some. But one is, many of you know that our oldest son was born blind. And back a few years ago, he lives out in Denver. He's an adult. He's doing amazingly well. So back a few years ago, all of a sudden, Stephen calls me one morning, and I look at it and I think, he's FaceTiming me. Huh, I wonder if he knows he's FaceTiming me. So I answer it and I'm like, hey, Steve. And I thought, I better tell him very quickly. Do you know you're FaceTiming me? And he said, yeah, I know I'm FaceTiming you. He said, I need your help. I was like, what you need, bud? And he's like, well, I have a white shirt. And I have two white shirts. I know one has a stain and one doesn't. And he said, I'm just trying to figure out. So he said, and I said, well, honey, I don't know where the shirt is, but I'm not seeing it right now. And he goes, okay, hang on. I'm like, oh, there's a shoulder. And he's like, okay. So we scan the shirt and we look and luckily he had the shirt out that didn't have stains in it. But over the years he has continued. Sometimes he'll FaceTime us, have us pick out a tie that matches something. One time he reached out to his younger brother who's very good with technology and said, hey, I need to hook up this antenna. And Seth through FaceTime was totally able to have him do that. So that might be something a little unique to our family that not everybody experiences. And then the other one is our middle son. Many of you know he is sometimes the drummer up here on Sundays. And Sean has always had a style of his own. If you've been here for many years, you've seen that sense of style that Sean has. I remember back, he was probably about 21 at the time, and I was standing in the cafe, and all of a sudden Sean walks in. And I just turned around. Of course, I'm thrilled to see him. So I turned around, and here, like I said, around 21 years old. So I look at him. He's got a tie-dye shirt on. He's got camouflage shorts on. He's got Van Tennant shoes that are like red and white checkered. I think his socks were two different colors. So I look at him, and I was like, oh, honey. I said, you know, I know you're like 21, but you know what? I would love this. If you would still wear a sign to church that said, I dress myself. A couple minutes. It was about just 4 or 5 minutes later, I'm in the cafe there, and some lady gets my attention, and I didn't really know who she was, but she had overheard the conversation, and she comes over to me, and she said, hey, she said, I heard that conversation, and I saw your son. She said, honey, nobody would take one look at him and think his mama dressed him. And I said, fair enough. So, but God laid that on my heart that, like I said, maybe your family's not quite as unique as my family, but each one of us are unique. So each one of our families are unique, and each one of our churches are unique. This, I'm not looking for you to raise your hand. I just want you to, in your own mind, just think here just real quickly. Is St. Charles River Church your home church? Is this a church, even if you come once a month, every few weeks, you get to come weekly, whatever that is, when you think of a church, is this your home church? And some of you might be visiting today, so you might be, nope, I live, you know, hundreds of miles away from here. Then you have maybe you have a home church possibly there. If you are local and you don't have a home church, of course, we would love for you, you know, to consider being a part of our church and being a part of our church family. But I was reading, and I won't read all these scriptures just because there's so many of them, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about, and that is the scriptures that talk about our physical body being compared to the body of Christ. So what it talks about is that some of us are eyes, and some are hands, and some are feet, and some are lungs, and some are hearts, and we're all different, you know, and then it compares that back to the church. But it also talks about in that nobody's in that. It's not like the eyes are more important than the hands, or the hands more important than the feet or the heart, or nothing's more significant than the other. In fact, when they're all working well, it's all, you know, the body's healthy and it's all working together. And this is out of the Message Bible, but the last couple of verses of that, verses 25 and 26 says, the way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention, the parts we don't. The parts we see, and the parts we don't. And that's so much like a church on the fact that there's things that you see, people on Sundays that you see what they're doing, but there's dozens of people that do things that you don't see, that the overall church doesn't see that they're doing and helping in. It says, if one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every part enters into exuberance. Pastor Barry Back, and I don't know if any of you are note takers, but I love to take notes when anybody is speaking, and I think it was back in May that he had actually mentioned this, but at one point he had talked about the fact that he had said that he was obligated to us and that we were obligated to him. And I don't think when he was saying that he was talking about just because he's our lead pastor that's where that obligation is. You know, Pastor Carl is obligated to us. We're obligated to him. Chris and Lisa, we're obligated to them. They're obligated to us. Whoever you are in the church, it doesn't matter who you are. We're all part of, just like your hand's obligated to your foot and your eyes are obligated to the other rest of your body, it's all working together. So when we talked about that as far as that obligation, and I think if we could truly realize that within our body here, within our church family, that we really are a part of each other, that we really are, that when one hurts, I got this picture, this warped picture, but I started thinking, have you ever had a dog or a cat and watched them spin around and bite their own tail? If you're watching them do it, you're thinking, God love them. Like, do they not know they're biting themselves? And they'll do it again. They'll run around, chase their tail, and bite it again. We had a dog, and I've seen it on videos too, we had a dog as a puppy. He would sit there, and I don't know if he was scared of his foot, if he thought his foot was going to take, he'd bring his foot up, and he'd start growling at his foot. He'd start growling at it, and then pull it back and growl it at his foot. We're like, it's your foot. How do you not know it's your foot that you're growling at? How do you not know it's your tail that you're biting? But yet we watch that, don't we? Within the family of God, within our own church body, within our own body, within people that we love and we care about. But then we turn around and we see sometimes that we're not always friendly to each other. But back to our own individual families. Growing up, did you have to do chores growing up? Yeah. when you were growing up, when you had kids, did you make your kids do chores? Yes. Yes. We did too. and it doesn't really matter in a household, right? If there's one person or 10 people, it's that all the work gets divided out amongst, you know, ever how many that there is there. So we also realize that in a church, it doesn't matter if we're a church of 10 or for a church of 500, there's just work to be done. I won't read this particular set of scriptures, but it's Matthew 6, 19 through 21, and it's basically talking about where our treasures are. So don't store up your treasures here on earth, store them up in heaven. And the purpose of that is the things here on earth are going to be destroyed or are be eaten up. So it's talking about, in verse 21, it actually says, for where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. And in when I was started thinking about that, as far as it's talking about that, is part of that is where our work is, not just where our money is, but where we put our time and our effort into. And I immediately thought about so many of the guys that just worked on this back lot out here, which looks awesome. They did such a great job. Yes. But I look back there, and I can tell you, I can only suspect most of us, any of us are going to go back there and go, yep, it's a parking lot, big deal. You know? But I'm telling you, for those guys that were out there, it was a hot day, I believe, that they were out there working on that, and all the time and energy they put in that, they're back there looking at that, and there's some pride in that, and they know what they did as far as, and that wasn't just to, you know, just because they wanted something to do, they did that because they love the body of our church here, and they wanted to support that. In my Bible notes there, where it was referencing the back to that scripture there in Matthew in chapter 6, it says, storing up treasures in heaven is not limited to tithing, but it is accomplished by all acts of obedience to God. So when we talk about that, so much of the time when we think about tithing and we think about giving, we tend to just think about money. And it's not just about money. I mean, we are that to be obedient. We are supposed to tithe off our, you know, income. But we're also supposed to give our tithe, of our talents. And my son, Seth, when he was a young, you know, teenager at the time and didn't have any income. And I remember him asking me one time, he said, Mom, he said, what if you don't make any money? What do you do then? And I said, well, honey, I said, that's a great question. And I said, but you're being obedient right now, because he was working back in the youth room and he was working back in children's church and he was using his time and his talent back there to run the soundboards and things he was doing. So I said, you're giving back, you know, in that way, even though you don't have money to give, you're still giving back in that. So now flip it back to, you know, with our individual families. You know, I was trying to imagine that we sometimes, don't we, you can imagine it like Rick and I, if all of a sudden I came home and I said, well, Rick, you know what, I've been thinking about it, praying about it, and I've decided that I've been helping with the dishes and going grocery shopping for the last 30 years. Been there, done that, I don't want to do it anymore. You could just take care of that now. And he'd be well, there's only two of us. What does that mean? Because whoever's in that household, we understand that within a household, that if somebody doesn't do it, then that somebody else has to do it. The other thing I tried to imagine was if you had like an 8 or 9 year old coming to you, you imagine you all said, I heard most of you say, if you had children, that you give them chores to do. And you can imagine having like your 9, 10 year old coming and saying, well, I've been praying about it, and I decided I just cannot commit anymore to putting my clothes in the hamper. I can't do it. I've been doing it for a few years now, and, you know, I don't mind. If you occasionally want to ask me to help with it, that's fine. You know, if I'm available and I can put my clothes in the hamper and help around the house, then that... So if I'm available, I'll let you know. or you can ask me. Ask me anytime. It's not that I'm going to commit to it. It's not that I'm going to say I can do it. I'm just saying, if you want to ask, that I would be willing to do that. So I can imagine. And then I imagine what God would be looking at when he hears us say those type things. When he hears us going, been there, done that. I know it's just going to put it on somebody else, but, you know, I don't want to commit. You know, I don't want to take up that time right now. And I thought about what we would do with those kids. We'd run around telling everybody and go, aren't they so cute? Wasn't that fun? What they said. We wouldn't let them buy with it, but we'd think it was cute what they had said. And Well, let me get out of trouble here. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. It says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as reward. Is the Lord Christ you are serving?" So in my Bible notes there, it says, since creation, God has been given us work to do. If we could regard our work as an act of worship or service to God, such an attitude would take some of the drudgery or boredom out of it. We could work without complaining or resentment if we treat our jobs as it was a form of discipleship. You know, I appreciate, Janice Bino appreciate this for, she had, we were talking in the office one time and we were talking about the fact of, serving, about that there's things to be done in the church. I mean, obviously we know we need to be loving on people. We know there's different things like that that we need to be doing, but there's also, it's just like home. We have dishes to do. We have trash to take out. There's just things to do with it when you're in the church body. So Janice and I was talking. I knew her time was a little bit limited. And so she said, so she came to me and said, "What can I do?" She said, she doesn't do poo, so she didn't want to work with the kids, or at least not the little ones. So we're like, we're head of the cafe now, and so we started talking about it. I said, "What about working in the cafe?" And God love her, she is now on our fourth week in the cafe. So we see this, and we know. And some of you might, you know, we might look at and think, we have to be careful. I know there is that balance of not overcommitting, but yet still being in there and helping and within a church family. I jotted down just because I was trying to remember right before I actually started working at the church. So this was when we were just, like everybody else, we weren't actually working at the church, but I was working full time in another job. Rick was working full time in another job. And what our schedules looked like here was, during that time, and this wasn't just for a year or two, this was for several years, but during that time, Rick and I was leading a small group in our home. We were hosting it. I was coaching the girls' softball team that was 12 to 18-year-olds, and we had practice once a week, games once a week, and that was like 4 or 5 months out of the year. I was working in the cafe once a month. I wasn't leading at the time, but just working in it, and then working on the welcome team once a month. We had family jam then, which was before church, and Rick would help set up and tear down for that. And then he was also on the mowing team, where he was mowing once or twice a month. When I looked back at that schedule and I went, oh my gosh, and we were both working full-time jobs outside of that. And it's not to say, oh, but what God really started laying on my heart in that was and this was kind of interesting because back like a month ago, God had laid something on my heart when I was here at church. And it was funny because as soon as he laid it on my heart, I thought, oh, that would kind of go along with my message on August 27th. And I jotted on there August 27th and I wrote down a few lines of information. I don't know about you, but sometimes I write things down so I can forget about it. So I wrote it down, I laid it off to the side. Last week, as I was starting to prepare again for this message, all of a sudden God laid something on my heart. So I hurried up and jotted it down at home, and I wrote on there, message, August 27th, because I wanted God to remind me of that, for that. I felt like it was God that had put it in my mind both times. Well, after I did that, I thought, oh, I think I have a note at church that I had also written down about a month ago. So I thought, I need to look at that and see what it is. And when I brought it home and I looked, and I was like, oh. When I really felt like it was definitely a God thing was because it was so similar what I had written down on both of these pieces of paper. And what God was putting on my heart was, it says, what we're doing, and I don't just mean our church, but just in general, it's we are waiting for God to bless our time and our energy before we're going to give it away. We're waiting for God to bless our income with higher paying jobs or better paying jobs, more income, before we're willing to be generous and give it away. And what everything that I've looked at in the Bible, you can go back and look at any of the stories in the Bible, even from like Noah or Moses or anybody. I've never seen in the Bible where it says, I will bless you, then be obedient. It's not what it does. Every place in the Bible where it talks about that, where it talks about all the steps that it had for Moses to do when he was leading out the Israelites, every step of the way, anytime there was anything miracle or anything that happened, always that he had to show obedience first before there was the blessing and before it was. And so I look back at sometimes when we've had the busiest schedules, I can tell you when we were doing all those things, we never felt overwhelmed. We never felt like we were just worn out, like we had taken on too much. Now, I can tell you there was a time back a few years before that, I had committed to playing softball three nights a week, and then I was overwhelmed, and I was like, what did I do? You know, and I immediately felt very overwhelmed in my schedule. So, but it's just praying. It's looking to God and saying, what is it that you want me to do? I'm going to read one more scripture here, and this is in James. I don't think I had given this back to the tech team, but James chapter 1, verse 25. And it says, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law and gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. And in my Bible note there, it says, it is important to listen to God's word, but it is much more important to obey it, to do what it says. We can measure the effectiveness of our Bible study time by the effect it has on the behavior and attitudes. It says, do you put into action what you have studied? And what I was seeing there is if we truly spend our time, if we spend time in God's word, if we spend time really getting into, and I'm not talking about, it's not that you have to spend an hour, hour and a half every day into God's word and spending some time in prayer and his word, but just at least a few minutes. And maybe you're a night person. I'm a morning person. So for me, it's better for me to do it in the morning, but to spend that time in his word. And when we've spent that time in your word, if you've heard that, you know, you can't hide when someone's been spending time with Jesus, you can't hide that when you've been spending time with Jesus. And when we do that, we're going to make those better decisions. We're going to make better decisions on what we commit to here at church and what we don't. We're going to make better commitments at home, what we commit to and what we don't. We're going to make better decisions with our work. It's going to impact us in everything that we do. And I want to just wrap up here on just saying that what, you know, for the last few years, I don't know how many years it's been now, probably about 5 years, we had started leading the cafe, and running that. Now I'd started in there like several you have over the years. I was just working in the cafe and I was, making coffee but all of a sudden, we ended up in a situation at the church where we didn't have anybody to actually run the cafe. And so it kind of just came down to, because I didn't know, it's not like I ever had a passion to run a cafe. It's not like I really have that much. I mean, I knew how to drink coffee. That was my gift, was drinking coffee. But it wasn't that I ever really had a passion to make coffee. It wasn't that I had a passion to go get donuts or take out the trash or wipe down tables. That wasn't my passion. And I heard just someone else say this just recently out in the cafe. Where my passion was is people. And when we love people, and when we love this body, and when we love our fellow Christians, and whether they're here or someplace else, but when we love, and that's where our passion is. So our passion comes from you know, that I'm so passionate about doing the cafe, or that I'm so passionate about, even working in the nursery or mowing the grass or any of those type things. But when our passion is that we really truly know that when we're serving God and that we're serving, that's where our passion, our love is for God, it will come through, and it will come through as we, I'm going to go ahead and just wrap up today in prayer. And but Heavenly Father, we come to you today. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity, Lord, just to be in your house together. Father, I thank you for this amazing church family that you've allowed us to be a part of. Father, I thank you for so many people, Lord, that do give of their time and their energies, Father. Lord, towards this family, Lord, to this church. Father, in your precious name, we just thank you. Lord, we just pray that for each one of us, Lord, as we go forward, that you will just be with us, Lord, giving us guidance, Lord, and just helping us make those good decisions, Lord, on the things we should do and the things we shouldn't do. Lord, in your precious name we pray. Amen.
Give Pam a, Pastor Pam a huge hand. I want to do something. I'm just curious. And by the way, I'm not doing this to embarrass anyone. I'm doing this to actually show you how valuable you all, each of you, are. How many of you have, don't stand yet. How many of you have ever participated over the last year in a St. Charles River Church function in any way, in any shape, whether you went on a missions trip with me or our missions teams, or you've served in that booth, or you've served in the cafe, or you've served in children's ministry, or you've picked up and cleaned up on the parking lot. You did something. You actually participated in a function of ministry. And I'm not talking about where you're preaching at people or teaching a class. I mean, you did something at St. Charles River Church. Many of you never know. On Monday morning, faithfully, Ramona shows up in that office and she puts in hours to make a deposit and confidentially never says a word to me about who gave what. Did you know that? Those are the types of things I'm saying. No one may have ever seen you do it and you don't have to tell me what it was, but would you stand up if you've ever participated in a function here at St. Charles River Church? Stand up right now if you would, please. Yes, you have. You've participated. If you're sitting there wondering, I don't know if I've ever, do you go to a small group? Do you go to the women's ministries events, the breakfast, the lunches, the bears, oh my, the whatever? Have you ever attended and been a part in some way, a St. Charles River Church function in some way? Just in some way. Andy, yes, you did. Dude, stand. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. So you stand up. I'm going to tell you right now, absolutely. Let me just ask you something. Did you ever pick up a piece of paper walking through the hall? Did you ever get another roll of toilet paper for the men's or the women's restroom? Did you ever go get me a glass of water during a service? Did you ever, I'm talking about minute things you think you didn't do. Did you ever give in the offering? Stand up if you've ever given in the offering at St. Charles River Church. Stand up. That's participating in the ministry. That's giving. Did you ever give of yourself in any way, shape, or form at St. Charles River Church? Stand up. I'm trying to give license here. Did you walk in the door and shake my hand? Stand up. Stand up. Did you ever buy the pastor a dinner? Did you ever buy the pastor a dinner? Did you ever buy the pastor a dinner? Stand up. Did you ever, let me ask you something. In the name of Jesus Christ, did you ever do anything good for anybody over the last year? Would you stand up? Did you do it? Did you ever do anything good for anybody in the last year? Would you stand up? Now, okay, everybody's standing up. Now, get the picture that Pam's getting here. How many of you did everything that everybody else did? No. Here's the picture. Everything you did was because that's what God gave you opportunity to do. But you didn't have opportunity to do what the next guy or the next lady or the next family did. But it was important that it was done. That's the family. That's the picture Pastor Pam is giving this morning. We all matter. We are family. We really are family. How many of you visited somebody in a hospital that needed to be encouraged? You didn't go in there to give anything other than value to someone. You matter at St. Charles River Church. And I got to tell you, around the world, the saints of God love each other, care about each other. We're praying right now in the name of Jesus Christ for Houston, the city of Houston and the state of Texas, in the name of Jesus Christ, over this hurricane. We're praying over what's left of the disasters of Katrina. Did you ever pray for somebody? Did you ever lift them? Some of the most powerful things you'll ever do is for each other, is pray for each other. I've heard people say, well, there's nothing I can do. I guess I can just pray. Oh, my Lord, start there. Because that's a part of what families do with each other. We love each other. We cry with each other. Did you ever attend a funeral? It wasn't your personal loss, but the tears just flowed out of you because you actually love the family that's hurting. You're so hurt for them. That's the family. Heavenly Father, we lift this family before you in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, some of you have bought bicycles for children you never met. Some of you bought computers for children to go to school, backpacks, you filled them. Some of you, you filled those backpacks for children you'll never meet, and you may never see them again. But you were selfless about it. You see, you matter. In the name of Jesus Christ, bless this family called St. Charles River Church, and bless the kingdom around the world. Bless the kingdom around the world. Help us to not be discouraged in well-doing, but and to actually stop biting our own feet and growling at our own feet when they come around and scares us. It's part of our body. It's part of the family of God that matters here at St. Charles River Church. God, teach us to bless in the name of Jesus Christ those we'll never meet, and to actually be a part of something greater and grander than ourselves. It's called the humankind that God gave His Son for. That God gave His Son for in the name of Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a huge hand. Give Him a huge hand.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.